am Pierre Lumumba. Here at the Thika Blue Post. Behind me is the iconic Chania Falls in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya. We continue to converse about the continent of Africa. And today we want to examine, albeit briefly, the relationship between foreign corporations, one may say companies, from outside of the continent and the African continent and their legal regime. It is important to give context to the emergence of Western cooperation. And we must always remember that what ended up being colonization actually started as trade. So that when the British started coming to East Africa, and indeed the rest of Africa, they came in under companies. The same was true of the French, as it was true of the Portuguese, as it was true of the Germans, as it was true of the Italians. And of course, after they met in Berlin, the whole enterprise of partition of Africa was to create spheres of influence to have presence in different sectors of the economy. The major sectors of the economy in those early days were in agriculture, so that you found many companies in the western part of Africa engaged in the planting of cocoa, in the planting of rubber, and in East Africa, the concentration was on tea and coffee and sisal, and in certain parts, there was even sisal and rice. All these was during the period when agriculture was the mainstay of African economies. After that, they went into other sectors. They went into the mining sector. And you find quite a number of companies from different parts of the world, Acacia, Barrick, Glencore. And when oil came, of course, we now have Total Energies, ExxonMobil, Shell BP, Rubies, and all these other companies. And when mobile telephony came, we then have Vodafone, you have Tigo, you have Orange from France. So that when we talk about Africa, you see a continent that has, in a manner of speaking, been invaded by Western companies. And of course, we also have other companies such as Apple who are involved in mobile telephony. And today, we are also in the retail sector. If you look at the supermarket environment in Africa, we have companies such as Carrefour, which originally was French, in the transportation companies such as Uber or Bolt, or in the security company we have G4S, we have K Gardewald, which is from Quebec in Canada. We have transport companies even involved in our motorcycle space, such as Glovo of Spain. These are all corporations that are in Africa. And if one thought that colonization was over, and if one thought that neocolonization was over, the new neocolonization is in form of companies and in form of commerce, which is being undertaken by these companies. How do we African countries deal with such corporations? Do we have legal regimes that are capable of dealing with them? The experience tells us that many African corporations or many foreign corporations misuse the weak legal regime. The De Beers company that has been involved in diamond mining. And it is not lost on me that the price of diamond is set in Antwerp in Belgium. And that until last year, to mean the year 2024, the De Beers were taking 75% of the proceeds of diamond and giving only 25% to the Botswana government. It is only last year that it's now been agreed at 50-50. We know the activities of ExxonMobil in Angola. We also know the activities of a number of companies in the mining sector, such as Acacia in Tanzania, such as Glencore in Eastern Congo. We know what they have done with rubber in Liberia, Firestone, what Firestone did with rubber in Liberia. We know what is happening in Eastern Congo with different companies. If it is not Glencore, it is Barrick. If it is not Barrick, it is numerous companies that are operating in that area. And our weakness, we have two weaknesses, which we must say without fear. We have politicians in Africa who can be bought for a song, and they sell their country's birthright. And number two, we have weak laws. One of the most important things that happens, important in the sense that it is important to those who do it, is that our laws many times, particularly in the commercial sector, are midwifed through these corporations. They come into your country, they finance your Ministry of Justice, they finance your Office of the Attorney General, they bring their experts. They tell you that the laws must be in conformity with what they call international standards. They build in clauses there that say if there is a dispute, the dispute will be resolved in London or in Paris or in New York. And once they do that, they make sure that they do things that are harmful to your people, and there is very little that you can do about it. And the question then is, what are we doing about it? What are we doing in terms of ensuring that our resources are not taken and that these corporations do not rape our countries? There are few examples that are to be emulated. One of them was from Tanzania, from John Joseph Pombe Magufuli. When he came into power, he discovered that Acacia had not paid taxes for 14 years. What did he do? He said, "You must pay taxes." And he said, "We must get into the arena, and no gold is leaving Tanzania without value addition. And if there is any dispute, it is going to be resolved by Tanzania." And as I speak to you now, that is what is happening in Tanzania, complete with a company and a factory that is adding value in Mwanza, Tanzania. A new thing that happened in the year 2024 is in the Sahelian region. The Malians told Barrick, "You are not taking gold outside of our country." And as at the 26th day of February, the year 2025, they have agreed to pay no less than $425 million United States dollars, and they have entered into an agreement. In other words, the time is now. The time is now for Africans to wake up. To wake up, to ensure that we do not allow our corporations or corporations from outside of the country to invade our legal space and to make laws for us. Ha Jun Chang, that great South Korean economist, in his book, The Bad Samaritans, has warned us that if Africa wants to grow, she must take charge of her affairs. Greg Mills, in his iconic book, Why Africa is Poor and What Africans Can Do About It, is telling us that we must take charge of our affairs. That great Zambian girl, Dambisa Moyo, tells us in her book, Winner Take All, The Rise of China and India in Africa, that Africa must wake up. And she repeats it in her book, Dead Aid. So that the positive message is out there. We must now begin to ask ourselves, this thing called international commercial law, for whom is it international? For whose benefit is it international? And how is it ensuring that we use our resources in an effective manner? I remember in 1960s, when Tanzania was dealing with the question of land, one of the things that their leader, Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere, said is that we shall keep our minerals under the belly of our earth until the day that we are ready legally and politically to mine it for the benefit of our people. And he came up with a policy on land ownership which is now described by legal scholars as the Nyerere doctrine of land ownership. He said, land does not belong to anybody in Tanzania. It belongs to the people. And the Tanzanian government will only give you lease as you need it. That was in contradiction for contradistinction from Kenya, where land was privatized and became individual ownership, which has undermined us in many ways. When we talk about corporations, whether they are from Europe, whether they are from the United States, whether they are lately from China, or from the United Arab Emirates, or from Qatar or Saudi Arabia, what we are saying is that Africa cannot afford the luxury of shutting ourselves out. We must trade with others, but we must do so from a position of strength. And that requires that we re-examine and re-engineer our legal systems so that our legal systems are designed in a manner that will benefit the peoples of Africa. And I am saying the time is now not to define our laws as common law, as French law or Dutch law. We must talk about African law. And that is why when I hear about East African integration, I am happy. Because when we are integrated in that way, we will be strong. When I hear about the Africa Continental Free Trade Area and Africa Agenda 2063, I am happy. Because when we are united as one whole, as the continent of Africa, with one uniform law that speaks to the manner in which we shall relate to Western or Eastern corporations, we will then be negotiating from a position of strength. And that is what Africa needs. That is what Africa desires if Africa is to realize our potential. And I'm suggesting that it can be done, because a number of African countries have started to do that. And I have no doubt that under the aegis of a reformed and re-energized African Union and the regional communities in SADC, in ECOWAS, in the Maghreb, and in the center, and the new Sahelian group, Africa will begin to reorient herself with a view to ensuring that we are not meat as dinner on the table of Western corporations, but that we are participants in a game which will benefit all, because history has demonstrated that collaboration is the law of civilization and unnecessary competition is the law of barbarism. Africa, the mother of all humanity, is capable of showing the world the way of civilized commerce. Brothers and sisters, this mother continent, as Pliny the Elder once said, something new always come out of the continent of Africa. We continue our conversation, but we say bye-bye to come back again as we continue the conversation. Thank you, and be blessed.